Welcome to the 3-Point Stand,
your weekly fantasy football podcast.
From the website of 1320wils.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is our stat man, Honest Rob.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, this week on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to talk about our headline stories. First of all, Michael Vick goes off. And after that, talk about Jason Garrett's first win in the Big D there. After that, we're going to hit our injury talk, people you're going to want to get out of your lineup. After that is our pickups of the week, people you want to pick up off the waiver wire if you're hurting at a few key positions there. After that is our segment, Back in the Saddle. This is going to be players coming back off of injury, players poised to have a big week coming back into their team's respective lineups. After that is our segment...
You're killing me, Smalls.
We're going to talk about some players that are just hurting you. And after that is going to be our last segment, Get in My Line.
Or Ride the Pine. So, Jason, we're going to start out headline story. Michael Vick just went freaking unconscious and killed every team that he played against in fantasy this week.
He sure did.
I mean, what do you see going forward for him for the rest of the season?
For the rest of the season, I think he's going to be a top five quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be the number one guy, like I've seen some projections state. I mean, he's got some tough matchups still left in the year. He's got to play the Giants twice still. Uh-huh. He's still got a matchup against Chicago, Minnesota, who's not horrible against the pass. But then, you know, he does have some cake matchups against, you know, Houston, a couple games against Dallas.
Okay, here's what I want to ask you, though. Do you think that the game's result, the end result, all this, the points that Michael Vick got, is that Michael Vick being good or the Redskins defense being bad?
I think it's a combination of the two. I mean, the Redskins defense is nothing to write home about.
Right.
But Michael Vick is an insane talent this year. He has looked better than any of his years in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's looking younger than that Michael Vick, and he's more of a pocket passer than that Michael Vick was. He's really picked up that aspect of his game.
Andy Reid, I think, really had a big hand in that, and, you know, wanting to stay in the pocket more. I mean, running out if he has to. But, I mean, and then just from the first play from the line of scrimmage, I mean, he bombed it downfield.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you ever... and
he's got a cannon on him.
I've heard that knock on him, too, that he doesn't have the arm strength. Oh, no, he has the arm strength.
Yeah, he's got the arm strength. It used to be that he didn't have the accuracy, but now he's got that. I mean, he's hitting his receivers all over the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the funny thing, too, for anyone that plays maybe video games out there or something. Like, if you get, like, a Madden or even NCAA, they give you players either they're really good at running and they're not accurate, or they're, you know, pocket passer and they can't... I mean, they don't give you someone that does both. Because it never happened before.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now, Michael Vick is the player that is both. He's accurate, he's a pocket passer, and he can run out and burn you. Mm-hmm. I mean...
And you can never, ever hurry him in the pocket.
No.
Because as soon as you start to get pressure on him, he just breaks out, runs to the sideline. I mean, he's back there as long as it takes for his receivers to get wide open.
And the Eagles' offensive line is actually really good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, which obviously helps the already great situation that he has going on. But here's what I want to ask, and I'm going to pose this question to Honest Rob, too. If you're doing the draft all over again today, who are you taking with your number one draft choice?
I know where you're going with this. I know you want me to say Michael Vick, and I'm not going to. I think with my number one pick, I would still take Adrian Peterson.
Okay, what about you, Honest Rob?
Even if we knew today, yeah, I mean, while Vick is that extreme talent, I'm always a load up on running back first kind of guy. Yeah, maybe AP. Tough to say. I mean, you know, we really kind of have to get into projections for the rest of the season. But I can't go Vick. But I don't blame somebody for doing it. I mean, I know a lot of leagues had Aaron Rodgers go first.
Yeah.
I was in two leagues, one where Aaron Rodgers went first and another one where Drew Brees went first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quarterbacks can go first. I don't think anyone this year would have taken Michael Vick first.
No,
but.
Definitely not. I mean, I don't know if I would take Michael Vick first. He would definitely be in the running. I mean, I think it would be between, in my book, it would be between him, Adrian Peterson, and Chris Johnson. But, I mean, to even have a week like he had to come back off an injury and be mentioned in the discussion, I mean, that's impressive in and of itself, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, I think if you have Michael Vick, I think it's safe to say you're pretty much starting him for the rest of the year.
I think so. Unless you do, you know, have another really good option, because that could happen.
Definitely.
I mean, you probably grab Michael Vick off the waiver wire. So you could be sitting on, you know, Peyton Manning and Michael Vick. And I think, you know, those weeks that Vick does play the Giants, I think, is probably a decent week to play another person if you have another, you know, top 10 type guy.
Right. And one thing that I think that you're going to get out of Vick, too, which I think maybe a lot of people haven't really thought of, you're going to consistently get at least decent numbers out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because he has the threat of running and passing, I don't see him having too many weeks where he's going to get less than double digits, if any.
Yeah.
So, I mean
he got four touchdowns passing and two running this week. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, Moving on, we're going to hit on the Cowboys, who we were extremely down on every player from that team last week. And I guess we got to eat our words sometimes in this profession because, I mean, Kitna, they were just all over the Giants.
They
were all over them.
Jason Garrett made us look like idiots.
Yeah, he really did. Thanks, Jason Garrett. I just wanted to throw that out there. So my question is was this a one-week fluke? Or is this what we can expect to see on a week-to-week basis now that Jason Garrett has taken the reins down in Dallas?
I think it was sort of a one-week fluke. I mean, I think they had a lot of motivation to play really well for Garrett this week in particular because it was his first week in. But the fact of the matter is they did play a really tough defense in the Giants.
Yeah.
And they did play really well against them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think as long as Jason Garrett keeps doing what he's been doing, I think they're going to play well. I think it will come down a little bit. Because teams are going to catch on to his new schemes and the things he's doing as the head coach.
Right.
So, I mean, the production will come down some, I think. But I think you're looking at a new Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I don't think they're a playoff team or anything.
Right.
But.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, let's go through positionally. And I'll ask you about the players at the position. And I want you to tell me what you think moving forward for them as far as the season goes.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about, obviously, first quarterback John Kitna.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see him doing for the rest of the season?
I think he'll be serviceable if you've had like an injury at the quarterback position, maybe if you had Tony Romo or something. I think you can slide in a Kitna and be serviceable for the rest of the season. I don't think you want to grab him off the waiver wire and start him over your number one guy.
Uh-huh.
But I think if you're hurting at the position, I think he's a good fill in.
Okay. Move next to running backs. I think who's taking the lead right now seems to be Felix Jones.
Yeah.
What do you see moving on forward for the rest of the season for him?
I think Jason Garrett seems to be more committed to the run than Wade Phillips ever did when he was head coach there.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said last week, they have some talent at running back with Felix Jones and Marion Barber and Tashard Choice. So I think if they're going to be running with Felix Jones, I think he's got a lot of value going forward.
All right, let's throw it over to our stat man, Honest Rob, and get some stats on Kitna and Felix Jones.
All right, thanks, Brad. For Kitna this year, he's played four games. This last week's game looked pretty good. 13 completions for 327 yards and three touchdowns. Overall QB rating, 124.1 for 23 standard league points.
All right.
So definitely an option, at least good if you played him last week.
Right.
Yeah.
For the year, because he's only played four games, he's only got 82 completions for a little over 1,000 yards and seven touchdowns. And his passer rating's only 82.2. So, but he's only played the four games.
Right.
And then for Felix Jones, 87 attempts, 353 yards on the ground, 27 catches for 242. He does have the receiving touchdown from last week.
Mm-hmm.
So last week he got 19 standard scoring points. He's only got 58 on the season. So if the trend continues, he's kind of moving on the up and up.
Right.
Yeah. I think they're all sort of trending up. I wouldn't expect 23 out of Kitna every week by any means, but I do think he'll be, serviceable, like I was saying.
Well, this is one player I think that's trend might be going down a little bit. Miles Austin, what do you see going forward with him for the rest of the season?
He certainly has been trending down a bit with Kitna in there.
Did get a touchdown last week.
He did get a touchdown, but I think with Kitna in there, his prospects are a lot lower than they were with Romo in there. He just doesn't have quite the same arm that Romo had, which I think favors a Dez Bryant more than it does a Miles Austin.
Okay, let's see what Miles Austin has done. Honest Rob?
Austin, for the year, 47 catches for 725 and three touchdowns. A little low on the touchdowns, although the yardage is looking nice.
Yeah.
This last week, though, like you were just saying, Jason, only two receptions for 68, but he does have that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has big play potential.
Yeah, he's definitely a deep threat.
Kitna's favorite target, obviously, Dez Bryant. What do you see moving forward with him?
I think he's going to be a starter wide receiver. And any team that owns him anyway. I mean, the way Kitna's throwing to Dez Bryant, I think you have to start him.
Honest Rob, can we get some Dez Bryant stats?
Sure. Yep. They call Bryant, like Jason was just saying, stereotypical big wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 41 grabs this year for 539 on the ground, but he's got five touchdowns. This last week, three grabs for 104. So, I mean, his average is like 30 or 35 a catch.
That's nice.
And a touchdown.
Yeah.
All right. Last piece of the puzzle as far as the Dallas offense goes, Jason Witten. Not really relevant in the first part of the season with Tony Romo in.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got Kitten in there, who I like to call Check Down Charlie, even though his name isn't Charlie.
Check Down Johnny.
likes to check down a lot. What do you see moving forward for Witten for the rest of the season?
I think Witten's going to be probably a top five tight end in there. It's the same thing with Dez Bryant. Those are Kitten's two favorite targets are Witten and Dez Bryant, and he's hitting them a lot more than they were getting hit with Romo. So,
Honest Rob, can we get some Jason Witten?
throwing out this last week, he only had one catch for seven, but kind of going on what Jason was saying, he does have 46 catches, which is only one less than Austin, for 513 yards, and he also has three touchdowns like Austin. So he does have 65 standard scoring league points anyway.
So he's got similar production to a wide receiver one in Miles Austin.
Yeah, so he could certainly be moving on.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right, we're going to move on here on the three-point stance to our injuries. A lot of injuries to just a couple positions, really, this week. Quarterback first up. Brad, what do you think about, obviously, Chad Pennington in Miami went down.
Yeah.
He was a starter. And he's on IR now. And then Chad Henne, the backup, comes in, goes out in the third quarter.
Yeah.
So what do you think going forward there? Are you hanging on to Henne at all, or are you going to just sit him?
I'm going to roll with Tyler Thigpen. Call me crazy. I like Thigpen, though. So I'm going to see what Thigpen can do. I think he has a chance to take over the position there, I think.
What are you doing with Henne, though, if you own him?
I never owned Henne in the first place.
Yeah,
so
he did.
If I did, I would have dropped him a while ago. But, yeah, if I got Henne, I think I'm going to let him go, personally.
Okay. Next quarterback up is Matt Hasselbeck. Came back from injury, then injured his wrist again in this game. Looks probable. Looks like he should play, but what do you think going forward with him?
Well, first, if you have Hasselbeck, I feel bad for you. second off, if you've been playing Hasselbeck, I'd probably hold on to him.
I guess if you're using him,
I mean he's serviceable.
He's decent.
And, you know, Mike Williams has helped him out a lot there. So that's it. Roll with him if you have been.
And then the other quarterback we have out is Jimmy Clausen, had a concussion and looks to be out for at least probably a couple weeks with a concussion.
Can you tell the listeners I'm rolling my eyes right now? I don't even want to talk
Brad's
about
Brad's rolling
Jimmy
his eyes right now.
I don't even want to talk about Jimmy Clausen. Get him out of your lineup. You shouldn't have him unless you have a keeper league.
Yeah, I was gonna
say
if you really think that
he's going to be awesome next year, because I certainly haven't seen it this year. But I guess if you had him and you were starting him, maybe look for Pike. I guess I don't know. You should really just stay away from that whole situation.
Yeah. Unless you have some sort of a keeper league, I'd say stay away from Clausen.
Yeah.
Moving on to wide receiver is the other position we had some injuries at. Mm-hmm. Jericho Cotchery. If you saw the play, sort of injured his groin, made a catch on that play, diving catch for it, and then sort of limped off the field after that. What do you see for him going forward? I mean, he was already sort of a wide receiver three in New York to begin with.
I don't know. I guess, like I said, same kind of thing. Like, if you had him and you have been playing him, I mean, maybe stick with him, but I think you could probably find a little something better out on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I'd say go to the waiver wire. I mean, even if you're playing him, I think you could find some comparable talent on the waiver wire for him.
Yeah.
I'd say go ahead and get rid of him. Next one up is Percy Harvin. Re-injured that ankle he's had going forever. I think with Percy Harvin, you got to hold on to him.
Yeah, you have to. He's been playing lights out, so you got to, you know, hope he comes back and feeling healthy.
Yeah, hold on to him. Hope the ankle gets better and that he doesn't have too many bad headaches.
Yeah.
Next one up is Hines Ward. Got his bell rung.
Yes.
And
he keeps his head on a swivel, Jason.
Yeah, it looks like he's already passed most of the concussion tests coming back.
Yeah.
But tough kid, man. Tough guy.
he is a hard-nosed player. That's another player I think you got to hold on to. You know,
I don't know. I think you can find some comparable talent out there. Maybe like because he's just a possession guy mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could find like a Devon Bess maybe or a Danny Amendola, I think, that would be serviceable for you.
I would say hold on to him. That's just my personal opinion.
I could see that, I guess. Our last wide receiver up is Joshua Cribbs. And I don't even know how you do this, but he dislocated four toes on one foot. That's his injury.
So one got away.
I guess the one rogue toe managed to make it through. I don't even know how you do that, but
I don't know.
I guess he's probable going forward. Do you think you hold on to him, or
I probably wouldn't have him in the first place. He's a very feast or famine kind of guy.
He is.
Maybe if you have return yardage in your league, maybe, but I wouldn't think so. I don't think I'd hold on to him. I mean, I don't know.
I agree. I think if you've got him, even if you were using him, I think you can probably get rid of him and pick up some comparable talent on the waiver wire.